You're listening to the Brick in the Wall podcast.
Hey, we're back. It's a Christmas special. How are you doing, Greg?
Yeah, really good, Paul. Nice to see you. Where have you been?
I know. You missed me.
Like you said to me, like a hole in the head.
Yeah, well, there we go. I'll take that. Do you like the new theme tune?
I hope we haven't lost listeners. They've turned off after 30 seconds. You were getting your money's worth out of that. He's dancing along.
That license cost me 20 euros. I'm going to get the most out of it. We're only going to use it once.
I didn't know you could do rave, big box, little box as Christmas carol.
Too right, mate. Glow sticks are coming out.
Show your age.
Oh, dear me. Tell you what a year, eh? What a year.
Oh, I'm done. I've slept. Mid-afternoon snooze. I've got a new book. I've done a paragraph per day. And that's all I've managed, and then just nodded off in the armchair. You know, that old git type of sleep where you fall on one side. Yeah. And that's without an afternoon. Yes, it did. I did dribble down. Yes.
Dribble down one side. Yeah, I know. Sign you're getting old, that is. And you wake up, you go, yeah, good dear. Anyway, should be a good episode. So welcome back, everybody. We've just had a little break. We've been, to be fair, like everybody else, we've just been really busy. I had to take a break from the podcast, but we're coming back in the new year, aren't we? Series 3.
Yeah, all planned out. Can't wait.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Anyway, guess who's on tonight, Greg?
I've not seen him for ages.
I know. Can't wait for this. But back by popular demand.
Back by popular demand, it's Kenneth.
How you doing, Mark?
Yeah, I'm back. Mark!
I thought you guys had gone off and done your own thing without me. I was a bit worried it was a Billy No Mate situation.
Would we?
No, would we do that?
I thought you had.
Would we? No, not at all. We need you when we need more listeners.
Well, you know what? Talking of, I've been going around schools, as you know, spreading Christmas cheer. No.
I hope not been spreading COVID.
Super spreader.
Ho, ho, ho. And we've got fans. We have got genuine fans out there.
Really?
Really?
They're all going, why aren't you on more often? No, they're not. they're genuine fans. And I've got to do a shout out to some fans. Okay.
Oh, hang on. We charge for this.
Charge who? you wouldn't expect it. Okay, so here we go, right? There's a couple of names. It's really important to shout out to your fans, okay? So, Miss Moore, this is a shout out from Greg, Paul, and me. Hello.
Hello, Miss Moore. Hello.
Happy Christmas. She's the head teacher who loves this show, and you should probably get her on, actually. Another shout out I'm going to do here. She didn't ask for it, but I'm going to do it. Mrs. Ash.
Hello.
And then another one.
Who?
Another one here is Tom, Nick, Joe, Nadine, Haley, Ranch, Lucy. Oh. There's a load of them. They're such good fans. I think it's important that you acknowledge them.
Okay. We value the listenership, don't we? They'll be getting a free goodie bag from Santa in the post.
I was going to try and do this without having to edit.
What's wrong with that?
Can I just say that that was the entire listenership?
Yeah, 10. Okay. Well, for you 10 that are listening, here's the Christmas special. Back in January when we started back, you'd never have predicted this year was going to happen, would you?
Oh, my.
I mean, I know COVID was about and it was... But it seems so far away and everybody's like, oh, it won't hit us. It's not bad. It's just the flu, as everyone kept saying. It's just the flu. And then come March.
I'll tell you what.
Do you remember that?
It was weird in the first lockdown. And then it was strange over the summer. The second lockdown was kind of like business as usual. Now, in the last few days, it's gone into scary mode all over again. I mean, this is really worrying stuff.
Yeah. It almost feels worse than that first lockdown.
It does. Yeah.
You know, the variant, we've now got a new variant of the COVID.
Even COVID aside, look at what's happening. We're being completely cut off from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
You know, much more so than we were the first wave.
Yeah, and it's been a massive step change as well, I feel, because we had the debacle around the schools in Greenwich and, you know, you must not lose any teaching time. You've got to teach right up to the last day. Yeah, right, like that happens, you know, with respect. Christmas is a festival of enjoyment and goodwill to everybody. So go to a school on the last day and see a full itinerary taking place. But having said that, all about you can't miss a moment. And then what do? They then drop the bomb right at the end, right at the death, to then change the opening of, particularly for secondaries, the opening in January. So, and then there's everything else. We're going to go through the year, but this, you know, the end of it really was a sad state of affairs, I'm afraid to say, Paul.
Also, last week in the debacle around the LAs and local authorities that were telling their schools to close and the DfE threatened them with high court action, it's one school today in Schools Week. 65 pupils and staff are now having to isolate on Christmas Day because they were refused permission to close early because their cases were rising. And as a result of that, 65 people and their families just had Christmas ruined.
Well, it seems a little bit contrary to what the advice was, because it seemed to me, and I'm not a head, obviously, but it seemed to me the advice was, you know, take an extra day on Friday and then, you know, take that day or use that day later on in the year. And that was okay, but to close a school for the last few days, literally the last few days of the term, was somehow legally wrong. I mean, that seems madness to me.
Given that dare I say it, someone wrote this on the internet this week, the mother of all risk assessments was in place, the blended learning offer is online there for all to see, ready to kick in, we've got everything ready to go, but they're going to push, you know, legal action to force you not to use that, which they've asked us to put in place anyway. Absolutely crazy.
Well, the best of it is Nick Hancock's come out today and has refused to rule out any further delays in reopening schools. He said there could be even further delays, so it might be longer than a week.
Yeah.
Because they just don't know what this new variant's doing. I mean, today, was it 33,000 new cases? That's a Monday, which is normally the lowest day. What's tomorrow going to be?
And it's the highest ever.
Yeah. It's scary stuff, really.
It really is. I mean, I think, and I sort of predicted this in my own little silly way over the summer, is that, you know, January, why reopen the schools? I mean, I know they want to keep the schools open and they're trying to push out all sorts of legal reasons to keep the schools open. But quite frankly, it seems to me we should be under a national lockdown. All other European countries are, particularly the bigger ones. And it seems keep schools shut until middle of February might be a good idea.
I can see it coming. I can see it happening. I really can. But then, to be fair, I'm going to go back to January, February last year. I didn't see a lockdown coming. I didn't see it coming until late into February when it suddenly became a real problem. And then almost overnight, we had to close down the schools and only open for key workers and vulnerable children. And yet that's never happened. And it, you know, how on earth people managed to put all the support in place, get the safeguarding in place, get the children into the school, meals, because that was before Ed and Red, before the voucher scheme kicked in, and that was a great success, wasn't it? You know, we had the hampers going out to goodness knows how many families up and down the country. I didn't see that coming, Greg, did you?
No, when you praise what you've done and how far we've come with things, and then you factor in the number of U-turns that the government have made, it's quite shocking. But you see, at the early stages of it all, I didn't think it was too bad because we were left to our own devices for a short period of time. The thing is, head teachers work really quickly because they have good teams around them. They have excellent staff, you know, and I include in that, you know, office admin, site supervision, site maintenance, the whole lot. So everyone's factored in. If you know your teams like you should, you can get things in place really, really quickly. And that's what principals did. And then, again, I've used the phrase twice already, another bomb drop. Then suddenly they take over and they start to tell us what to do. And that's when, for me, locally, it all went wrong, all went kind of fuzzy and the lines were blurred. So, you know, you pay people to do a job and then you micromanage from the highest level, and then the DfE start presenting things that demonstrate that on the ground they're not quite sure what's actually going on. And that's the embarrassing fact that we're still living with it now, aren't we? Still happening. Still happening day to
day. So that is the drip feed of guidance, isn't it?
Yeah, the Friday night bombs.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we have got to take the positive. I'm going to come back to Mark's point in there in a second about the guidance. We've got to take the positives, because actually this podcast came out of COVID, really. It came out of the lockdown, because you and I sat there, Greg, and said, what are we going to do about teacher CPD? We need something.
Still wondering.
Teachers can tap into. Sorry?
I'm still wondering.
Yeah, so am I, but sure. Hey, listen, I've been blagging for 9 months. Keep going. But you know what I mean? And the podcast grew out of it. And do you remember? And we had Bill Lord on.
Yeah.
Bill, great. Head teacher. He was brilliant. Bill's a good mate of mine. Absolute legendary head teacher. Came on talking about the guidance. Friday night, we were recording. And we sat there, and it was about, 8 o'clock? And he said, you're not going to believe this, chaps. He said, but the latest guidance has just dropped while we're recording live Friday night at 8 o'clock. And that wasn't uncommon. You know, it was dropping on a Friday. It was dropping on a Sunday, often with 24 hours notice to get things implemented the following day. And it's still going on, because how many pieces came out 9 o'clock last night? Was it 5, 6 pieces of guidance I read this morning?
Yep.
Shocking.
And then they, you know, I know we are reviewing the year, so I don't want to sound like a total whinge, but it's hard to take the positives, but...
It's not like
the,
you.
The press and the media. Oh, come on. Look at this. I'm halfway through this. my flavoured drink. The media got hold of it, didn't they, in terms of turning the population against teachers and anyone that worked in a school. And that was really quite evil. But then that was yesterday's news. That was brushed over really quickly. You know, Cummings did his thing, didn't he, to take the pressure off of people for a while. He's gone, isn't he? He didn't last long.
Hey? Yeah, it's all to do with his eyesight, apparently. That's why he's gone.
Failed the medical. Yeah, I did smirk when I saw that one. But anyway, so, you know, there's the positive things around, you know, what Daniel Rashford has done. Yeah,
Daniel Rashford.
Yeah. Talking of which, yeah. I'm sure I just heard you call the education minister not by his name. Not the education minister, the health minister.
Nick Hancock.
Didn't you say... Not Nick Hancock, Matt Hancock.
Oh, no, he's... Yeah. I'd prefer Nick Hancock to be the minister, I think, to be fair.
From now on, Paul, you should be known as Pauline. And
funny you should say that. I got an email this week, didn't I? Dear Paula. Dear Paula. I think, hello.
They must have thought you were a pantomime dame. It's that kind of time of year, isn't it?
It certainly feels like it.
Yes, indeed. Back to the thread. Marcus Rashford, free school meals. That's moving, you know, at speed. So he's done a great thing there. The laptop promise.
Well, that worked well, didn't it?
The laptop promise. I would like to ask you, being that it's panto season and pantos aren't happening, about your wish for this year, okay? Because... Bingo, bango, bongo. My wish is that they provide more laptops immediately. Like, you know, immediately. Like when they're needed. Like you have a cohort down. There's supposed to be laptops available, but you can't order them until the cohort's down. So you order them and then you wait. And then the cohort come back into school. And then another cohort goes down. You order some more. You wait, and they come back into school, and then you get some laptops in.
And they arrive. Yeah. But it's okay, because there's 440,000 laptops going to be coming into schools by Easter, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
I mean, 500,000 by the end of the academic year.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, but that was a farce, because do you remember the Friday night when all of the schools, I think it was the Friday they broke up for half term, everybody checked their allocation. They had an email to go and check their allocation, and they'd all had it slashed by half.
Yeah.
Do you remember? And then all of a sudden, they're back up again.
Yeah, last week.
I mean, honestly.
You can order whatever you like, provided it's within the quota.
Well, you could order how many you like, whether you're going to get them or not, and on time's another matter, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I was working with a colleague that sat on an order or a costing for an order of iPads suddenly, wrong time to order them pre-Christmas, they've gone up a notch in price, haven't they? So, oh dear.
But there's an actual shortage.
There's a shortage
of iPads and a shortage of components for laptops, which is the big problem internationally. It's not just here, it's internationally.
Yeah.
So obviously the prices are shooting back up now.
So, okay, just going back to our thing about schools closing or when they should reopen or whatever. So here we are in a situation where the government are now accepting the fact that there may need to be some laptops for certain children who don't have access to those. And they are sort of arriving late, but they're arriving, and credit to the government, because actually it's a huge expense and a necessary one, and well done. I think it's good that they're spending that money on those laptops for children that need them. Now, they've made preparations. It's now mandatory for schools to have remote learning facilities. Is that the right word? And yet they're still resistant to schools kind of going off and being able to have remote learning. So what confidence do they have in it? Is it really important any longer? Is it what it was supposed to be? I don't know. I mean, it seems to me amazing. Why don't we utilize it? There are so many schools who are so good at it now.
And I think, well, that's where the Oak Academy came in, wasn't it? I mean, the Oak Academy was funded and they put together a curriculum. And I think what they were hoping was that people would be starting to follow the Oak Academy. And don't get me wrong, some of the materials there are really useful. But actually, most schools thought, we've got our curriculum sorted. We can just move that to a remote offer and teach it in a different way to the way we've been teaching it.
Yeah.
So I think the schools have been very adaptable to the ever-changing guidance and ever-changing world that they've been in. Greg.
Yeah, and a number of schools, you know, I hope people listen to this and can reflect on their year. But certainly, you know, the schools I work with, bubbles have gone down straight away next day or even that afternoon. Bubbles have gone in the morning with news of a positive test result within the cohort, within the staff. And by the afternoon, all the kids are at home and they're online. So, or packs have gone home with the children who can't access that kind of support. So it's worked. You know, the systems, it's lessons learned. And you know, we were talking in the summer about the good offer, but hopefully that's an improved offer now. CPD, we've had time to put that in place. Children know what they're doing because they're used to it, because obviously they've been prepped in class. That's good teaching, though, isn't it? That's not reactive. That's being proactive to plan for, well, look, what's going to happen January? I very much doubt we're going to go back on time. You know, personally, when you watch the news, Kent in the southeast, you know, I've got family down there. You know, they're reporting that it's, it's nothing short of carnage, but you know, you feel for everyone because we're in the east as we speak. You know, we're not unscathed by this. It's going to continue. Just watch the news. They know what's coming. It's just a polite way of trying to say, you know, Boris this evening, you know, he speaks well and you know, has his team around him, but they know what's coming. They absolutely know what's going to happen.
Oh, of course they do. I mean, it's almost, I mean, tonight was a nothing press conference, really.
Yeah.
What did it tell us that we didn't already know? That was just him trying to keep everything calm. There's enough food.
Absolutely.
It's only 20%. You know, that's what it was about, wasn't it? It was the blocking of the lorries moving between here and the EU. You know, he's got to keep the country calm and keep them moving. But actually, there was nothing there that was new. What was more worrying was the press conferences over the weekend when they were talking about the new variant, 71% more infectious. So you're seeing a quicker rate of infection, and it's because it's got a bigger viral load, which I always thought if it had a bigger viral load, actually the potential for it to be a worse illness was greater, but that's just my understanding. Worries me.
But 3 hours ago, The Independent reported as a headline, mutant coronavirus strain could easily target children, scientists fear. Well, come on. You know, scientists fear. It's already happening. It's already been happening. You know, back in the summer when we came, well, back in, you know, September when we came back, the pubs had opened, to get that in, the pubs had opened at the back end of the summer successfully. Numbers remained low. Schools opened. Boom. Off it went.
Yeah. Can I just say something? My pub does fantastic Scotch eggs.
And it lasted you all evening, did it?
Honestly. Oh, Bob Scotch eggs are legendary.
Bob Scotch eggs.
Only in Norfolk.
People travel from miles around to go to Bob's for Bob Scotch eggs.
Bob's.
And a pint or three. You know what? I have to say, right, I didn't realise how much I'd missed the pub. Oh. You know, because you think, ah, it's all right, pubs are closed, we'll have a beer at home. But actually, you go down the pub, yeah, and I mean, I don't know about everyone else's local, but ours is brilliant. It's got screens up at the bar. You've got to sit at your table. There's hand gel going in. You know, he's really taken the social distancing really seriously. But just to go and see your mates and see people from the village who we haven't seen, you know, we haven't seen them for ages. And we're bumping into people that we last saw Christmas Eve last year down the pub. And just to see it and, A, make sure they're all right and just talk to them. I think the pubs opening was a key thing in, you know, just almost bringing back a sense of normality for people for a little while.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because it's the centre of the community, really, traditionally. And in a way, it's kind of moved away from that over the last decade or so. And this perhaps kind of emphasises why it still is.
Yeah.
Because people want to hear what other people are doing and see that other people are still around and okay and all that kind of thing.
And it's forcing them to diversify because Bob's got this little shelter outside the pub. It's now a fruit and veg stall. You walk in and he just goes, "Don't ask where I got it from."
Honestly, don't mention the wall.
Yeah. Oh, I've never seen so much fruit and veg in all my life. Tesco's, I'm not bothered whether they sell out. I know where I'm going tomorrow. I'm sorted, mate.
Yeah, you're there at Bob's.
It's all right at Bob's.
But yeah. I'll tell you what, though. I spoke to a number of people, whether it be friends or colleagues at school, and what are you doing for Christmas is the usual question, isn't it? And loads of people rubbing their hands together and saying, well, we're stuck indoors and we can't see any family. So this myth of a time to get together has been completely trashed by people saying, actually, I'm staying in and I haven't got to see anyone. But that's going to wear off. I think with Boris's news on Sunday, where he can't literally, you know, cancel Christmas bar humbug, that really hit home quite hard. You can't travel across borders or where there's different tiers in operation. But, you know, to not see family is going to hit a lot of people really hard, really, really hard.
I think it's going to encourage drink driving, you know.
Because that's a worry in itself, isn't it?
I do, because people
are not, one day.
Yeah, they're not allowed to stay overnight. Most people want to drink on Christmas and, you know, obviously responsibly, but, you know, it's going to encourage people drink driving, I think.
Yeah, that in itself is scary.
Yeah, but there was a bigger police presence, you know, lockdown one, I remember seeing in the town where I live in town, that there was a bigger police presence. But then on various A roads and motorways, when we were in lockdown, there'd still be speed cameras about, the mobile one. You're thinking, really? This is all hands to the pump. You know, we've got an epidemic on what's going to happen, or pandemic on rather, what's going to happen. And they were there. But then, you know, I'm still quite bemused by the fact that the government keep going back to the use of the armed forces in trying to give us a solution to the organisation of returning to school in January with the armed forces being involved. They offered us that before, didn't they? Don't you remember? To come in and teach. Remember that bit?
Catch up.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Well, yeah, anyone else using the military out there for their catch-up?
Do you know what? I'd forgotten about that, Mark.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten, but actually they did, didn't they? They made the announcement about, you know, you can use the military for your catch-up. Yeah. How many people have got that in the catch-up plans?
Exactly.
SAS catch-up plans.
Yeah.
See, what they've said as well is they said we'll have all these numbers of volunteers coming and everything's in place for catch-up now. I get that. But they've again gone to military for the testing or the plan for testing, and volunteers who don't need, quote, a DBS check, because they're going to be supported by members of the school staff who are spare, who are rolling around not doing anything. So it's...
What spare staff?
Here we go. What? That's his new one.
Where are they?
We're not closed. There's his other one. This is what spare staff.
We never closed.
We never closed.
But seriously, what spare staff? Schools are at capacity. It doesn't take many staff to be absent or isolating, and they're struggling.
Well, you know, I was at a school last week, and they had, before this year, used lots of local people, parents, grandparents, some of them very vulnerable, for, you know, reading, children reading to these volunteers. They haven't been in school for a year or nearly a year. Those people, unpaid volunteers, are not there. So the school is, you know, I mean, that's a little kind of bit of it, but they're not there in school, so you can't even use those people.
No, and often they're the most vulnerable people as well.
Yeah, exactly.
They're often older people, or you know, they may not be well enough to work, but they can come and volunteer, hear readers, etc. They're highly vulnerable, so you can't have them in. So this, you know, yeah, we'll have these volunteers, and without DBS, by the way, not a chance. What a thing to say! They don't have to have a DBS. No way. It's just not going to happen. You know, I can't wait for the inset day when they're going to train the teachers and how to administer the test. It's going to be a scene out of Blackadder, two pencils up the nose and a pair of pants on the head, isn't it? I mean, honestly, my wife doesn't trust me with a Q-tip in my ear. What hope have I got with a five-year-old testing up the nose? Just, you know, these politicians, you know, it's like the one-liner, isn't it? When light travels faster than sound, that's why some of them appear bright until they open the mouths. I mean, these ideas that they're coming with. Honestly. Anyway, Greg, you were going to talk about U-turns as well.
I just got my list because I did a bit of pre-reading. So the couple of the U-turns were around, we've done Eden Red and the lunches, haven't we? So that was U-turn one. Then there was the one around PPE. They're going to pick up all the costs for your PPE purchases. And then all of a sudden, oh no, it's only if that forces you into a deficit budget position. So that's another U-turn. And then the biggie for me was the exams, the summer testing. No, we're not going to move. No. And then all of a sudden, we'll change our mind. So there's at least three or four, maybe even five or six, you know, U-turns that they've been really vehement in their argument that this is what we're going to do. And then last minute, they change. So it's about listening to the unions. Unions have a bad press, don't they? But listen to them, because sometimes they get it spot on. I know Jeff's been very vocal, isn't he? And has actually got it right every time he puts pen to paper. So, you know,
I think it's interesting, Greg. Sorry to interrupt you. I think it's interesting that they have put that out. They've said those things, done those things in the guise of leadership. And I don't think it is leadership. I think they're wrong. I think that they're being dogged and they're being decisive and obstinate, and saying or dressing it up as being leadership. Leadership is about listening, weighing up, and then going with the answer that is morally right for the population. And I don't think that's what's happened at all. U-turns seems to me to be about saying one thing and then deciding another.
Yeah, what's happened is we've been playing the worst game of the hokey-cokey that anyone's ever played in their life this year. They've forced us to play it because they say, here's the advice, and schools have to start following the advice. They go down one route, and then all of a sudden, it changes again. So all of the plans and all of the prep that you've done, all of the work gets undone, and then you have to do something else. They just need a clear plan and be upfront with everybody and honest, because I think the issue here has been, there's been a lack of honesty through this from the politicians. I don't think they've been honest with us. And I don't envy them their job, by the way. I'm not belittling what they've had to do. I wouldn't want their job. I certainly wouldn't want to be in Boris's shoes. I don't envy him.
And to be fair, this a long time ago, I remember saying this myself. I'm no fan of the Conservative government, but I think largely they've done a good job. However, I think it's when they start to say things like, you know, weeks ago they were talking about, yeah, we'll have 5 days for Christmas. What? Things change every other day. Why are you planning 4 weeks in advance what's going to happen, or 5-6 weeks in advance what's going to happen at Christmas? That's wrong. Totally wrong. That's politics. And it has no place here. We're not fighting a government. We're not fighting a political cause. This is a pandemic.
And all it does, really, all they were doing it was trying to appease people and just keep a lid on everybody up until Christmas, because they knew fine well, let's be honest, if they hadn't done something for Christmas Day, people would have gone out and broken the rules anyway, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
They would have done. But to actually start saying weeks and weeks and weeks ago, yeah, it's 5 days, this is what it's going to be, they didn't know what was coming. They should have waited too close to the time, but told everybody, we will make an announcement on this day.
Yeah. A week before, or 10 days before, or whatever it is. But, you know, we all know. We're all sitting there waiting for the news every day. I mean, I'm an idiot for it, but I sit and want to know what's going on. So we all know. We know we can't plan weeks in advance.
I planned for tier 5, though.
Oh, here we go. Tier go five. On.
No exhaling allowed, inhaling only. You can't blink more than twice a minute. Stroking cats and dogs is limited to Tuesday afternoons only. Wearing of shorts is discouraged after 4 p.m. and Monster Munch crisps are now banned. Christmas films are allowed, but only if you watch them standing up. And driving is allowed, but only on your own driveway, no further.
Hey, what about fishing?
Hey, you can still go fishing. Even in tier 4, I checked that.
We can still go. Yeah, even in tier 6, we can still go. You can't look out your own window in tier 6, but we can still go fishing.
Did we took the question on wishes? I think we did.
Yeah.
We were asked, what is our wish for Christmas, Greg?
Well, so bingo, bango, bongo, Greg.
And remember, he's not a genie in the lamp. You'd only get one wish here.
Oh, one?
Don't squander it.
Okay. Well, one wish for Christmas is on behalf of every head teacher in the UK. And that is that someone who used to employ Gav is going to reach out to him and offer him his old job back in the fireplace factory. And Gav's going to take it. Gav's going to have an easy way out and he's going to enjoy 2021 without the hassle of the job that he's currently employed to do.
That's my wish. Mr. Gove doesn't then take over, though.
Who?
That's my worry. Mr. Gove.
Oh, he's been there already. He won't do it again.
That's my worry.
We'll all go back in primary schools. Go on.
So, all right, my wish. My wish is for the football season to end tomorrow and York to be promoted on points per game since we missed out last season. I'm not bitter.
True.
No, it's not. I know. My wish for Christmas.
There's a lot of dead air there.
Well, it's an obvious one, isn't it? You want COVID under control so we can get back to some normality, get children back into schools and be able to teach without the pressures and the stresses that this pandemic is bringing. There you go. That's my wish. Can you make that come true by 1st of January, please?
Okay. Bingo, bongo, bango, bingo, bango, bongo, bingo. No, I can't. Sorry. Restrictions because of COVID.
Because you're in tier 3, you can't do that.
I'm in tier 2.
Oh, you're tier 2?
Oh, yeah, we're tier 2 here. Are you tier 3?
No, but I'm going to stay up New Year to welcome the new tier in.
Hey! Terrible.
Well, we can't have a Christmas special, though, without reviewing the year of podcasts, because we've had some cracking guests.
Mary.
Oh, I still laugh about that. She was brilliant. Mary Myatt, if you've not heard that episode, go and listen to the episode with Mary Myatt. What a fantastic guest. She had us howling with her stories, her insight.
I had some good feedback about that episode, Paul. Some schools posted that they used that on their PD day. So there you go. So our objective of offering CPD opportunity came true just that once, but it actually happened. Okay.
I'll take it. Yeah. No, it was a good episode and it was good CPD. Who's your favourite guest of the year?
Outside of Mary and Mark, I really enjoyed... there's been such a varied mix. There's people that I've really enjoyed listening to in terms of just listening to them chat about education. So Jim Wynn, I really enjoyed. He's one of those guys that can just quote every, piece of educational research over the years. So he was fascinating. You always learn something when you talk to Jim. Yes, Mark, we've got your hand up.
Yes, sir.
You're not in class. Go on. speak, young child.
Yes, sir. There was that chap, and I can't remember their names. I don't remember anybody's names, but he was amazingly inspirational, talking about these Academy Trusts. I think he'd been made a sir, and he was James?
Steve Lancashire. Steve Lancashire. Yeah, he was a good guest as well. Yeah. Talk about make all your decisions for your communities and your children. And he made that really clear. Every decision he made, regardless of what the guidance said, if it wasn't good for his communities, his children, they weren't going to do it. It would be in the interests of their kids. He was brilliant, really inspirational.
Very inspirational. I'd like to work for him. I think I said that before, but I think he's an amazing person.
Probably the biggest one of the year, actually, was Wayne Norrie. Got the most downloads per episode from Wayne's. And again, he was another one who does things for the kids. All of the decisions that he was making were for the children. And that was around, you know, that wider opening when schools were starting to open more widely. And there was that expectation and that pressure from Deafy that it was going to be on that whatever that Monday was. And Wayne, Steve, number of other people all said, no, that's too soon. We're going to leave it and we're going to do it in another 2 weeks. We're going to make sure our schools are as safe as possible before we open more widely. And I thought that was another good episode because at the time, everybody was struggling with that. It was a conundrum that everybody was kind of managing.
Yeah, and quite topical. Some other colleagues that we spoke to who are working out of Ipswich, which is now, well, the weekend, had the highest number of COVID cases in the last couple of weeks nationally, I think it was. So we spoke to Richard Dedicote, practicing primary head teacher. We then got second review from Richard Moxon. So that was a really good contrast. Objectives entirely the same, of course, but they really gave us an insight into, you know, life on the ground in complex settings. So that was interesting. And then early on, we weren't COVID central, were we, at all? We were talking about it, but we were more focused on, I don't know, the development of educational practice and the quality of teaching and learning. So David Barrett gave us some good words of advice, Adrian Blight. So there was, you know, a real contrast, really. And then the one for the wrong reason was who was your old colleague, Paul, where the bottles were clanking in the background through the early evening
aperitif? Amy, so Amy was talking about the new Ofsted inspection framework because she'd just been inspected just before the lockdown. So we spoke to her about the experience of inspection and the curriculum focus. But yeah, there was a lot of bottles clanking in the background.
That was a funny one. And then our colleague who was regionally famous for trying to cancel Christmas in primary schools. That was brilliant.
Yeah, it was an absolute disaster in terms of letting children know that Santa didn't really exist by accident in an assembly. Yeah, that was Jonathan. Yeah. Yeah. So we've had some cracking guests, actually. You know what? It's been great fun recording these all as well.
And you learn a lot, don't you? You actually pick up a nugget or two or a gem from one or two people. Nick a few ideas. That's nothing wrong with that at all. Don't reinvent the wheel. And then we covered governance as well. So
Raj Unsworth.
Raj was fab. And I'm trying to think what else we had Mark on, and Mark added an air of, not being rude, Mark, because you brought an entirely different perspective on things as well. So not head teacher, not practicing teacher, but you're in schools doing something else and not just one school. So it's quite an interesting role you have. You're like a spy.
So not anything. You said not a teacher, not governance, not anything.
You'd be a fly under the radar, don't you? You go in, you look, you listen, you're the eyes and ears of the institution, and then you come back and report to us. It's good.
I like that. I'm covert. Yeah.
Covert in COVID times.
Do you know what I was going to say? Well, what's interesting here, QI, is that you asked me on to talk about remote learning. And I went, well, I think everything I can tell you about remote learning goes on the back of an envelope. And here we are, whatever it is, 8 months later or 9 months later or something. I'm still here. I'm not really talking about remote learning. I'm not really talking about anything. I'm just responding to you guys. But here's the thing. Remote learning has moved on. Has moved on a lot. And I remember one of the things you said to me when we did the first chat that we had was, you know, it'd be interesting to see where this goes and maybe have me back on to talk about it in the future. Well, I'll tell you what, the future's here. It's weird, because I think there is an element which has become a little bit kind of normal about remote learning. And there's also an element which is still pretty alien for schools. I don't think that they've totally got their heads around it. I think it varies from school to school. And perhaps this is a comparison to the normal model, which is schools vary from school to school, you know. So your remote offering is going to vary as well. Maybe it's obvious.
You've got some schools as well. I mean, was it Chris Dyson School up in Yorkshire, where they didn't use any remote offer, no online offer, because the children just didn't have access to the laptop. So it was all on a paper-based approach, which was right for those children. He took a slightly different approach to it. I think they probably did video lessons and that sort of thing, but it wasn't an online offer. But I think you're right. Schools are in very, very different places in terms of their remote offer.
Well, I did a bit of CPD recently with some teachers who lacked confidence, I think it's fair to say, in terms of remote teaching. And my emphasis for them was about saying, listen, you've got to draw the pupils in. So you have to manipulate them. And I said, that sounds terrible, awful. But it's the best thing you can do, because if you are going to engage the children, you have to engage the parents. How do you engage the parents? By engaging the children. I know it sounds ridiculous, but you've got to make sure the children go to the parents to say, I need your phone. I need your laptop. I need your computer. I need a device to get online because my classmates are doing X, Y, and Z, and I want to do it. I want to be doing that thing. It's that zest for learning. They don't know it's learning necessarily, but it's that zest to say, I want to be in school, I want to be with my mates, I want to do this thing. And I think remote learning has become much more than just teaching. It's actually about creating an environment, and I think I said this originally, a culture where children and staff feel they can have a world. They can have an environment where things can be passed between each other. And there's a relationship, and there is an environment where teaching and learning happens.
That's why we invited you back.
Here endeth the lesson.
Even with the bandana and that thing that you did back then, that was the hook. But no, the point you just made there, I think it's not just the kids either. It's developed the way that adults think about education. You know, governance, for example, you're never going to miss a governance meeting, are you? Can't make it, I'm too far away. Well, just dial in, you know, the way we can, you know, staff go home early on a number of days and they dial in for a staff meeting. Why change that? Good practice. You know, think about staff wellbeing. Makes sense. So, yes, I agree. Lots, not just the blended learning off for pupils, but actually the way the profession is going to develop and move forward is not going to be the same one that we left back in March. That's for sure.
Well, I would add that I find it interesting as an IT person, because the emphasis has moved from being like, oh, well, no, it's much more important to have someone who can do, you know, reading with the child, to actually we need the ability to teach online. We need the equipment. We need the infrastructure. We need – so the budgets shift. There is spending in areas which I applaud, because it should be happening anyway. It's been happening in secondary schools for years. And now in primary schools, they're starting to go, yeah, we do need laptops for people, and we need laptops that work for teachers and so on. And I think that's a great thing. It's a nice shift for me.
Can't disagree with that, can you?
Yep.
Hard to disagree with. Do you know what? One of the key things for me, take it from this, though, it's easy to look at the doom and gloom, isn't it? It's really easy to look at the doom and gloom. We pandemic is awful. It's an absolute nightmare. But we had somebody like Kev on, Kev House,
yeah.
The Art of Brilliance, Art of Happiness, you know, about that positivity. You know, I've worked with Kev before, and I've heard the Happy Pants story before, but, you know, get your happy pants on. Let's be positive. Let's look at the positives and be grateful and thankful for what we do have, not what we're not receiving at the moment, not what we're not able to do. But gratitude is key. And I took that away from that podcast. And I started every day to look in what am I grateful for every single day. And it does change your mindset.
Is that why you've called us back together?
Yeah, got the band back together. I was bored.
Just amused myself. Yeah.
So when you say the band,
here we go.
We're not going to do a confessional today, because we've confessed our sins, or the ones that we can tell in public. We've confessed all of our sins. However, Mark has composed a Christmas song for us, I believe. I'm looking forward to this.
So what I love is that you've not heard it.
That's so a worry.
It's worrying.
I could really sing anything here and get away with it. But you know, this is we've kind of talked about the year, and this is Christmas, and you know, there's a very famous song called "All I Want for Christmas Is You," but I don't want you, so I'm not going to sing that. All right. This is "All I Want for Christmas Is Some Guidance." But it's kind of a folk song, so I don't get any, you know, illusions about me being Mariah Carey or anything.
Mark, you're on my screen. There's no hope of that.
Hold on, I'm going to transform now into Mariah Carey. I got a call from Greg and Paul. Do you like the rhyming? To come and talk on Brick in the Wall. That's three rhymes in only two lines. And I said I thought it was a last resort. Greg winked and smiled and said, "You've never taught." And Paul said, "That's just what I thought." And I said, "What's all this about? Is it what you want for Christmas? Is that what it's about?" Paul said, "You may well ask." And I was thinking lovely Christmas things. Candy canes and what Santa brings. Not what they were going to say. And Paul looked at Greg, and Greg looked pretty vacant. I mean, sorry, I mean, looked in agreement. We know it's all clear. We know what we want this year. All I want for Christmas is... Christmas cheer? No. All I want for Christmas is a beer? No, Greg. All I want for Christmas is guidance from Gavlar. Christmas guidance from Gavlar. The term has ended. Friday came and went. The holiday is here. And those DFE elves don't rest. So neither does Gavlar. All we want for Christmas is some guidance from Gavlar.
Hooray!
No rehearsal, no mistakes.
No. My shoe is paying the staff £1,000 overtime to work through the holidays as well, isn't it? There's a Christmas bonus. Brilliant. Brilliant.
So there you go.
Well, any chance of another Christmas melody while you're here then?
Yeah, absolutely. Shall we release that every year and get royalties? Because I think...
Absolutely right.
Now that's what I call Gavlar 2020.
If Lad Baby can release a song about sausage rolls, we can release a song about Gavlar.
There you go.
Good dear me. Brilliant. Oh, Greg.
Greg, I have no words. We're done. Speechless.
I'm taking it to the pub next time we're allowed.
Yeah, I'm with you. On stage. My final words are cheers, raising a can to the screen. Merry Christmas, everyone. Anyone in education, there's no need for me to say thanks. Just what a year. Ignore the pain. Just carry on next year because it's not going to get any easier. But, you know, you're in it for the right reason. So cheers all. Thanks, Paul.
I have one thing to say, okay, and I said this to a head teacher a couple of weeks ago. Absolutely true. And I'm sure you'll back me up on this. one of the great things this year, we've all grumbled, and the three of us have grumbled a lot. We absolutely have. And it's awful to really hear, but here's the thing. Schools, to get given guidance, they grumble, and then they go, come on in, let's get on with it.
Yep.
That's what happens.
Yep. They make the best of a bad job.
Because they're the right reason. Yep, absolutely. Yep.
They do what's right for their children. So if you are in education, you're listening to this, have a happy Christmas. Enjoy your break. You've done a fantastic job this term. And I'm proud to be in the profession. Really, I'm proud to be in the profession.
Me too.
Now, thank you both. Make sure you both get a good Christmas as well. What have you asked for Christmas, Greg, just out of interest?
I'm not fussed about presents, really. See, I like the food and the booze on Christmas Day. I love a walk and I love just chilling out. And as long as I get a good book, I'm quite happy, really. So a couple of fishing numbers out of the pool. I'll lend them to you once I've read them, if Santa delivers on time. But time to sit and rest on that day is what I enjoy doing with the right people.
What about you, Mark? Have you got any plans Christmas Day?
Not really. No, the same as Greg, really. I think, honestly, I'd kind of rather push Christmas out of the way. I know that sounds terrible, but I'd rather just move on. I think I'm looking at Easter, you know. We're still stuck in this year, and it's fine. We're going to make a nice Christmas day and all that kind of thing. But I'm kind of looking for the future, and I think it's going to be good. I think we'll master this, sort it out, move on.
Let's just hold our nerve, get through the next few months, and actually look, the future is bright. Let's stick together and make sure you have a happy and peaceful Christmas. Don't forget, you can follow The Brick Wall Pod at The Brick Wall Pod on Twitter or The Brick in the Wall Podcast on Facebook. We will be back in the new year with a new series, and we look forward to talking more with you then. Have a great Christmas. Bye-bye.
See you. Bye. Merry Christmas.
Bye.